There's been a lot of fellowship, a lot of enjoyable times, and as I said to someone here last night or this morning, I am becoming a freshly impressed with Jesus Christ, all that He has done for us, and even His Word. Would you please stand as we'll sing together, Proclaim the Glory of the Lord.
Proclaim the glory of the Lord. Let every tongue confess He reigns. Lift up His name in praises forever. Proclaim the glory of the Lord. Make known His mighty deeds to all. Take up the call. Let every nation know. He is our Messiah, our Savior and our King. Let all our voices join as one and fill the earth with singing. Glory to our God, His greatness we applaud. Let Christians now on every shore proclaim the glory of the Lord. Proclaim the glory of the Lord. Give honor to the Prince of Peace, for if He cease, the stones will start shouting. Proclaim the glory of the Lord. With songs uplifted, let us raise immortal praise to Him who reigns on high. He is our Messiah, our Savior and our King. Let all our voices join as one and fill the earth with singing. Glory to our God, His greatness we applaud. Let Christians now on every shore proclaim the glory of the Lord.
Please remain standing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day. We thank You that Your faithfulness is shown by the seasons, by the sun and the moon and the stars. And thank You, even as we heard last night, Your faithfulness is demonstrated towards Israel. And we thank You that we, as Your people in Christ, are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're dead to our sin nature. We're alive unto Thee. We thank You that even Jesus Christ, as our great high shepherd, is watching over us. Thank You that even He is the vine and we are simply the branches and we draw from Him. So today, Father, I pray that You would physically strengthen us. You would spiritually encourage us and even edify and educate us. Pray that You would just use Pastor Sean, Pastor Roxer, Dr. Price, and even the Sunday school teachers to communicate Your truth. May we have a listening ear and a receptive heart. And may Jesus Christ truly be magnified as we just proclaim the glory of our Lord. In His name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. We'll continue singing together. This is a great song about the exchange. He takes our sin upon Him and He gives us His righteousness, His robes for mine.
His robes for mine, oh wonderful exchange. Clothed in His sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in His place I die. I trust in Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, should be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting love, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine. Saved by His blood, vicarious death and life. I trust in Christ and marvel at
Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own, my praise, my all, should be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, God's justice is a plea. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's plea. Christ drank his wrath on sin, and Christ is done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won. I trust in Christ and marvel at the call. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, should be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He has no eye, accursed and left alone. I as though he embraced and welcomed home. I trust in Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, should be for Christ alone.
At this time, I have the privileged opportunity of introducing Pastor Sean Laughlin. Laughlin. It's funny, you talk to his brother, it's Laughlin. Talk to him, it's Laughlin. I haven't figured it out. Sean has been pastoring up at Itasca Bible Church for 12 years, Sean? 12 years. And we've had him speak many times since he's been up there. So with that, Pastor Laughlin can draw our attention to God's Word at this time.
Morning. I'm going to try. We asked to speak for 15 minutes. We tend to try to cram 5 pounds of Bible into a 2-pound can. And I think Dr. Price crammed about 50 pounds into a 10-pound can last night, but it was very good. In that the theme of the conference is Jesus Christ our Lord, I think one of the privileges that we have as believers in Christ is to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit called joy. In fact, being filled with joy is the normal course, or it's to be the normal course of the Christian life. Rejoicing in Christ should be viewed by you and me as believers in Christ the same way we're to view instructions to love one another, to speak the truth in love, to refrain from gossip and be filled with the Spirit and so on. And yet what I observe, or what many can have perhaps observe, is that in many cases the opposite is true. And so much so that even unbelievers have drawn the conclusion that to become a Christian, you need to give up laughing or something, and that you need to make a pledge to be miserable. Are you a joy-filled person in your Savior this morning? Are you like some believers who seem to get their comfort by wallowing in a poor me, do you know what I'm going through kind of outlook in life, whereby they seek to get others to feel their pain, and they never seem to rise above their circumstances? You know, if you read the New Testament, you'd recognize that was never Paul's approach. In fact, he's writing this epistle from some lousy circumstances as he is in prison. We're going to talk about Philippians 4:4 here. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And we have a double command here. Both times you see the word rejoice in this verse, the present tense active voice commands, which means we are to keep on rejoicing. all the time, and just to really make it painfully obvious, he adds an adverb that says always. Always. I'm not only telling you to rejoice all the time, I'm telling you to do it always. And so what we conclude is that there's really no getting around it. You know, he doesn't tell us it would be nice if we rejoiced. He's not suggesting that we rejoice or even take a course on rejoicing. He says just rejoice, but then to do so in the Lord. Why are we commanded to rejoice in the Lord? Well, it's important to understand some principles regarding this to really rejoice the way God would have you to rejoice. In fact, if you want to fill out on your handout here, what you need to recognize is that God's joy is produced by the Holy Spirit, signifies an inner emotional harmony, and it's always based on recognizing and resting in spiritual realities. Not spiritual theories, but spiritual realities. In fact, notice the sphere of your rejoicing is what? It's in the Lord, your Savior, your Shepherd. That's the arena in which you are to rejoice. It's because of who you are in Him and who He is by way of His character. That's to be the source and reason for your rejoicing. It's the blessings that are yours in Christ and the real reality, the eternal realities that are based in Him. See, another way we could say this is that God's joy is based on the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. On the hope you have in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 say this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And notice, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, the hope mentioned here in the glory of God forms the basis of rejoicing. And hope in the New Testament is not like the hope or how the word is normally used in our culture, like I hope the Vikings win, you know, or, you know, where the outcome is seriously in doubt. No, it means something that you're absolutely assured of in the future. It's something that's guaranteed. It's something you're to fully count on. It's something you are to eagerly expect and anticipate. And what are we to rejoice in the hope of? What are we to eagerly anticipate here as God's children? The glory of God. The glory of God. And because that outcome is certain, notice what Paul goes on to tell us. And not only that, but we also glory, and you can be translated rejoice as it is in the NIV, in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See, you are to rejoice in the future, and therefore, because the future is certain and the glory of God is certain, you can now rejoice in tribulations and the character-building opportunities that God wants to build into your life, which actually encourage more hope as you respond to Him. And so regardless of your circumstances here this morning, you are to rejoice in the Lord and the eternal realities that are associated with Him, knowing that God has a plan, knowing that God makes no mistake, and that even the tribulations that come your way have a godly purpose. And above all, knowing that the glory of God is coming, we have hope, and therefore we rejoice. And so we can also say that God's joy then does not come from a favorable set of human circumstances. It's completely unrelated to human circumstances, and it can actually be experienced in the most severe of human circumstances. And you know, you tell that to believers at times and they say, well, wait a minute. Do you know what I'm going through? You have no idea what I'm going through. And you know what? I might not have any idea you're going through. And you know what I say? So what? Why do I say that? Because you know what? God knows what you're going through. And He says, I want you to rejoice. In fact, what did James tell us? He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. All joy. Why would he say such a thing? Again, it's the spiritual reality. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, we're to count it all joy. Not some joy, but all joy. We're to reckon, is true, the following reality, that the testing of your faith builds godly character. The spiritual realities associated with the trial are to cause you to rejoice. Because we know that God is going to accomplish a worthwhile end through it all. spiritual maturity and growth. You know, it's nice knowing your trials are not arbitrary, that they're not without purpose, that God's on the throne, and that because He's in complete control, you can rejoice. Amazing, isn't it? You know, James here focuses on the process of the trial, but notice what Peter said in his epistle as he wrote to some believers who were experiencing far greater difficulties than you and I have thus far in life. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it does not fade away, it's reserved perfect tense in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And notice, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? That the approval of your faith, which is much more precious than gold which perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you notice, rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, as you will receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Notice, rejoice in the Lord means you rejoice in spiritual realities. Here he mentions you've been born again. He mentions that you have a living hope, that you have an inheritance that is perfectly kept safe for you in heaven, that will not fade away, that cannot be corrupted. There's no doubt about it. And though you rejoice in that, he makes it clear that you can be grieved through various trials. And so though you may be sorrowing this morning, you are to be rejoicing in the Lord. That's the way Paul operated. He mentioned to the Corinthians, in telling them in the context of not giving offense to his ministry, he says, "In all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and fastings." And he goes on to say, "As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, and as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, but yet always rejoicing." Now, did Paul know sorrow? Paul knew sorrows that you and I may never know. And yet he was rejoicing. He was rejoicing in the spiritual realities that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a number of things that can cause sorrow in our lives, and even deep sorrow at that. I mean, we live in a sin-cursed world. Disappointment and trouble and pain and difficulty, they're all guaranteed. And yet we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. Peter indirectly tells us to rejoice. James and Paul command us to rejoice. And these commands and admonishments are well needed for us, for by nature we want to get our joy the same way the world does, by having a rosy life, by living life on our terms. I've said for years, and Kurt echoed it yesterday, we only get in trouble in our Christian life when we want to live life on our terms, when we want things on our terms. And so we'll sacrifice the joy that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ because we simply want it our way. And the thing of it is when you get your joy in circumstances, they're always subject to change without notice. And so we can conclude here that rejoicing always in the Lord does not mean that you never feel sadness or grief. In fact, if you've spent any time in the Psalms, you would recognize that the psalmist oftentimes begins his psalm by expressing how he is absolutely overwhelmed with despair or sadness, and he readily expresses his feelings to God. I do not see the psalmist denying the intensity of the trials or the troubles with some grin and bear it happy face. But what you often see in these particular psalms as they unfold is that through the process of crying out to God for help and refocusing on the Lord, that the psalmist oftentimes rejoices at the end of the psalm, even though his circumstances haven't changed one iota. We have the privilege as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to rise above the fray and to rejoice in a Savior who does all things well. And yet how many believers forsake that joy and bog down as they simply look at what's in front of them and they allow it to eat their lunch? Amazing. And so, through the trials and the injustices that you will face in life, are you allowing the spiritual realities to enter in, so that you sorrow as those who do not have hope and you rejoice in the hope that you do have? Have you ever asked yourself why Paul did not say rejoice in the Lord most of the time? or when you feel like it? Because if he did, that would open up the door for all of us to justify why we are the exception, why we don't have to rejoice in the Lord. But he doesn't. He doesn't. And you see, the reality is that God's joy is the result of believing that the promises of God are true and the purposes of God are right and will not fail. See, all of this is based on who and what God is and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how often do we approach life like the unbeliever? You know, all aspects of life as it pertains to you personally can be viewed in light of eternity and who you are in Christ and knowing what the outcome is, the glory of God, and therefore can be rejoiced in. We know that God is good and He is sovereign. Therefore, all is well. He knows the end from the beginning. He's working all things together for good. He can never act in a way that violates His everlasting love for you. And so you are to rejoice in Him, knowing that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. We're risen together and seated together with the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the ages to come He will show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward you and me. You know what that means? We can vigorously fulfill the command of Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, He says, rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we are just so privileged to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand amazed that You would love us enough to send Your own Son to die for the likes of us who have rebelled and sinned and done unthinkable things in violation of who You are. And thank You that Your love was equal to Your justice and You sent Your Son to die in our place. And thank You not only as we receive forgiveness in Him, we've got this amazing position in Him in which all things that pertain to life and godliness are ours. And that we can rejoice in the Lord always. Help us to focus on our Savior. Help us to rejoice in Him so that we view life, as we view life from Your point of view, that we can just revel in the glory that's to come, all because of Your amazing grace. And so we just thank You for this time together in Your Word. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. We hear sometimes over the pulpit, the Lord said it, I believe it, that settles it. I've got a new one. The Lord said it, I believe it, now I rejoice in the Lord. We have a special next for us, and we'll put the words up here. Shanna and Ann will be singing for us. There's been a lot of special music, and I must just say right now, we very much appreciate all the labors behind the scenes for those individuals who have been ministering to us for our benefit. It is My Jesus Fair.
My Jesus fair was pierced by thorns, by thorns grown from the fall. Thus He who gave the curse was torn to end that curse for all. My Jesus meek was scorned by men, by men in blasphemy. Father, forgive their senseless sin. He prayed for them for me. divine, oh matchless grace, that God should die for man. With joyful grief I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only Him. My Jesus kind was torn by nails, by nails of cruel men, and to His cross, as grace prevailed, God pinned my wretched sin. My Jesus pure was crushed by God, by God in judgment just. The Father grieved, yet turned His wrath on Christ, made sin for us, made sin for us. My Jesus strong shall come to reign, to reign.
Thank you, ladies, for ministering to us. May that be true, abhorring sin and adoring Him. I'd like to sing one more song before we open God's Word together again. It's Rejoice in the Lord. Please stand, we'll sing together.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and holding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness He giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see. blessing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Please be seated.